that there's a possibility of God not knowing. Now, how can it be that he, let's say, he has lived with God 100,000 human years. Let's make it a bit more, 1 million years. How can it be that you've known a person for 1 million years and you thought that the person didn't know that you're planning something? How can he think that way? He must have seen something about God that God doesn't seem. Wait, I'm not saying this, right? Watch very carefully my words. Ooh, it's close to blasphemy. He must have thought that sometimes God doesn't know. Is that a fair statement? He must have thought that there are some times when God doesn't know. And he wants to catch God off guard. Now, for a person to think that another person possibly doesn't know, it means that he must have seen some aspect of God that is quote-unquote human and limited. Hello there. Human and limited. That God seems to expose himself in a limited way. Right? That God seems to be, hey, I didn't realize God didn't know. Right? He must have thought that way. Because God must have shown some things that look vulnerable. Vulnerable. And Satan was going to take advantage of that. Now, he wouldn't have seen it just one time and take advantage. He must have seen it many, many, many hundreds and thousands and hundreds of thousands of times for him to be fully convinced that God is vulnerable enough to be conquered. Can you see the point? So what's going on in Satan's mind? The vulnerability of God. That's what he thought he had. In the end, he found out that when God looks vulnerable, he is not. Just as we all have discovered that meekness is not weakness. If you haven't discovered that, you haven't found the fullness of Jesus. That meekness is not weakness. The world perceives meekness as weakness. But it takes a greater strength to be self-control. So he must have misconstrued who God is, misconstrued what God was like. Thought he had a winnable situation, and lo and behold, he suddenly realized. And imagine, he pulled 1/3 of the angels. I don't know how many angels were 1/3. Millions, zillions, billions. Imagine he had 1/3 following him. Looks winnable. How come the others were so convinced? He must have been a convincing arguer. Right? To be able to convince others, you must be triple, double convinced yourself. So that he could convince others that God is conquerable. But finally, he realized that when God says, Adam, where are you? It doesn't mean he doesn't know. It doesn't mean he doesn't know. So when God shows his vulnerability, it is not because he is vulnerable. It's because he wants to show his tenderness to us. So that's Satan. Why do I touch on that a little bit? To give us a concept that sometimes when we relate to God, if we are not careful, we begin to make God very human. Forgetting that God is not human. He's beyond human. But when He relates to us, He comes down to our level, and we think that's all of God. And we begin to limit God by our own human understanding of who He is. Without realizing He chose to limit Himself so that we could identify with Him. So, remember, God is almighty. He foreknew all things and He predestined. Out of His foreknowledge, His ability to anticipate everything, He worked out a plan. And when He worked out a plan, it's called predestination. And so, predestination is a subset of foreknowledge. Can you see that? So it's foreknowledge first, then predestination comes in. Because God does not predestine evil. But He knew that there was evil. So He predestined the good thing. So predestination is a subset of foreknowledge. Now under predestination, there are two types of predestination. Two types of predestination. One is the predestination of events, which is unchangeable, immutable, and without conditions. Unconditional. The other is the predestination of human vessels. And that is conditional. So there are two types of predestination. One is a predestination of events. God has designed events to be completed in human history. So God planned for the Israelites to enter the promised land. Correct. He even predicted it happening. Told Abraham, you will return again to this land. After he has served in captivity for 400 years. So God promise them that event is going to take place. Moses led the Israelites out right up to the border of the promised land. And at the end of one full year after they came out from Egypt, in a place called Kadesh Barnea, they were about to cross over into the promised land. And the Israelite says, why not we send 12 spies to spy out the land? And when the 12 spies came back, 10 of the spies give a bad report that frightened everyone. Say there are giants in the land and it's impossible to conquer. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, gave a good report. But all the Israelites were influenced by the 10 spies with the evil report. And they all started crying and weeping because they said, how can we go in now? It's terrible. We cannot go back, we cannot go in, and we cannot stay. So all of them started crying and weeping. And God was displeased with them. And God says, because you didn't obey and go in, every single one of you will die in the wilderness. Was it God's plan for them to go in? Yes. But did they go in? No. In the end, 40 years later, their children went through. With the exception of Caleb and Joshua who went in. Who lived long enough to go in. So the event took place, but human free will delayed it for 40 years. The predestination of events are not affected by human free choice. At the most, it can be delayed, but it cannot be prevented from happening. It is ordained of God as a milestone in human history where He shows His hand in what He wants to do. So it can be postponed by disobedience. And it can also be quickened by obedience. Every truth has two sides. Every truth has two sides. Now, sometimes he knows certain events need to take place which are not very good in the overall scheme of things, like tribulation and all that, that he predicts that has to happen in the history of nations. And he did say, pray that the days be shortened. So, it's possible to shorten some things taking place, some things that need to take place, where evil has to abound for a short time. See, does he know about it? Yes, he included that in his plan. Read the prophecy of Daniel. In the prophecy of Daniel, he even mentioned that for a short time, that the people of God will be given unto oppression by the evil powers. He allowed that. But he did say, pray that those days be shortened. So some of you say, I don't understand about this lengthening and shortening of time, right? They're supposed to go to the promised land, they delay for 40 years, so is there. Remember, time to God is nothing. And time exists only in our realm, not in God. Remember, that we did one message and we talked about heaven, what heaven is like. I'm not sure which series it was, but we talked about heaven. And in heaven, there are no clocks and no calendars. Yes? When you go to your mansion in heaven, you look for a clock, there's none. How can you measure time in heaven? There are no 7 days of the week either. Right? Because our Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all named after those Roman and Greek gods. You're not going to have a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday up there. No. So how do they measure things in heaven? By events and experience. And that is why, in a certain way, on this earth, there are certain events that need to take place. Now let me stretch your imagination a little bit. Time exists only because there is a movement. If for a moment every atom of our being is frozen and stop moving, the sun starts moving, the moon starts moving, the earth stops rotating. Let's say everything in the physical universe is frozen for a moment. As far as we are concerned, time is frozen. You could keep us that way for 10 million years and it would be still the same. Time, as far as we are concerned. We measure time based on movement. Now, if that movement is slowed down, then time slows down. Now, what I'm talking about is a scientific fact also. Time in science can be slowed and can be speeded up. According to Albert Einstein's theory of relativity, the faster you travel at the speed of light, the more time slows down. So if we were to take Steve, put him in a rocket, send him out into outer space at 99% the speed of light, and Steve goes out and goes for one whole year, turns around and brings the rocket back, he lands on Earth, he comes out to greet us. For him, 1 year has taken place. For us, nearly 60 years have gone by. Steve would still just be, if he was 40, he would just be 41 years old. The rest of us, if we were 40, when Steve comes back, we are 100 years old. So, because when objects travel closer to the speed of light, the atoms and molecules move slower. Yes, and because of that, all your cells, all your body, everything slows down. But as far as you're concerned, it's still the same. But when compared to someone who's not traveling, it's you seem to be slower and we seem to be moving faster. And so in that sense, an event to God is stretchable. In human terms, it may cost us 40 years. It may cost us 3 years, 2 years delay. That is why there are verses in the Bible, in Joel, that says, when God restores you, He restores the years that the locust has eaten. And he described all the different type of locusts, the crawling locusts, the jumping locusts, all the different type of locusts. God restores you those years. He is a mighty God. Amen.